otherwise you would need a pipe this big for sending stuff down.
Totally. So, who are you? You're on my team. We see you around a lot. You're one of these architecture guys. Introduce yourself, man. What do you do?
So, dear Carlo, you know who I am. I am Vittorio. And it's 5 years that I work in Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
It's yesterday 1 year that I work in Microsoft Corporation here in the States. I spent 4 years in Italy in consultancy.
In consultancy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I had my chance of making some work at the customer.
Okay.
While here in corporation, I still deal with the customer, but on different basis.
Uh-huh.
And specifically, my job here is going after very big corporations, enterprises.
Uh-huh.
And in the entire last year, I made basically briefings and architectural sessions with Fortune 100, Fortune 50, Fortune 10,
uh-huh.
about Windows Workflow Foundation, Windows Communication Foundation, and Windows Cardsbase trademark. And it was a great year because I had the chance of dealing with such big realities,
mm-hmm.
and I had the chance to really help them on real problems to apply our new technologies.
Fantastic. And today, you know, we wanted to talk about WS Trust,
yes.
which must be, because when you go into these corporations and talk to their architects and engineers and business decision makers, whoever you're talking to the technical people of these companies, I'm sure they're curious about how the stuff really works.
They
right?
certainly are.
So let's talk about how, now we've had Cardspace on Channel 9 before,
mm-hmm.
right? And it, when it was called InfoCard.
Okay.
And they've shown us the way that the cards have information in them that the system uses to make requests out to some server that has credentials on it and
mm-hmm.
SAML tokens and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But let's talk a little bit about what's underneath that, and that's the WS Trust layer, right?
Yes, they are absolutely correct.
Uh-huh.
WS Trust is actually at the backbone of Cardspace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around way before that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in my consultancy days, I was used to make use of that a lot. SAML tokens are something that you use in WS Security,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, something that is used and is an enabler of Cardspace, but is not Cardspace itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cardspace is a way of making all these goodies nicely available to the user.
Okay.
And exactly as you said, very often when you go to make these kind of briefings, you have somebody that doesn't really stop to the level of just trusting what you say about the feature or the protocol. They keep coming back saying, okay, but what about man in the middle? And every time you realize that if they know exactly how WS Security and especially WS Trust works, they would not even feel compelled to make this question.
Hmm.
Because there's no magic in any place. Underneath, at the protocol level, there is a number of steps that you follow and that result in all these proprieties that we all wish for, like integrity of message or confidentiality. It's no magic. It's not simply a tag that you put on it. It's a simple operation that you do. Another thing on which I often have to go deeper than the usual literature is key distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, everybody is not very keen of spending extra resources, because distributing keys, distributing certificates, it's a big deal, because you have to set up in place your key system, you have to reach the people that you want to give keys to, you have to maintain, because sometimes those they expires, and so on. So often we find some sort of resistance, meaning that they say, but why do I really have to do it? Again, the moment in which you actually make the entire picture to them, it ends up that they understand it by themselves, and they can make informed decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you want integrity, but you are not interested in confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see under the hood how those things work, you can actually decide what it means in terms of your infrastructure. This may mean that you don't need to set up a certain public key. as opposed to that you have to do that, but you may avoid doing something else.
Okay.
And so on and so forth. So it's an hard experience because there are really a lot of details that are important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you do every time. But once in a lifetime, you may probably want to go through all these, and then from that moment on, be confident on the fact that WS Trust, WS Security really deliver that specific kind of security properties. So that you don't have to just believe that, you know that it goes. And again, I experienced a number of aha moments. You see the customer and say, ah, that's how it works.
Excellent.
And so I think that it will be worth to capture it.
Absolutely, and I mean, this will be an episode of Going Deep. And on Channel 9, that's what Going Deep series is all about. Let's talk about what it is, how it works, why it's designed that way. And, you know, whiteboards are always welcome. But let me just make one quick call out to a niner out there. We have an Italian niner who's always on the coffee house, Little Guru. So he's a fellow Italian. I'm not sure where he's from, but he's a university student, but... I mean, clearly you're Italian.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Obvious.
My accent, I know, it's bad. And also, if you notice my shirt, this is my city.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
My city is Camoglie, that is a small fishing town in the north coast. But this one is the main city, is Zurna. It's in the Genoa slang. So I'm here. I'm proud.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome. Always good to have Italians on Channel 9. So... let's talk about. Let's pretend, you know, I'm an architect at one of these companies, and I really want to know. I want to know how WS Trust works. I want to know what's going on. I know I can select, for example, card space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only using that as an example.
Okay.
It's built on top of all this stuff.
Okay.
I select a card, and something happens. So take me through a scenario, and let's draw some pictures.
Absolutely.
Of architects.
Absolutely. That is great. So, as a premise, we are going to do this regardless of products. Let's say that whatever we say applies to anybody that wants to follow the standards.
Okay.
So I'm not making a Microsoft pitch. This is a WS Star.
Now, wait, let's step back, though. What do you mean by that? Are you saying, so WS Star is an open standard that anybody can use?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, very recently, we made something big. We made what we call the Open Standard Province. We basically took 35 of those standards,
mm-hmm,
or specifications, and we pledged not to enforce any of our patents to anybody that will try to implement those standards.
Cool.
This is something really, really big. And in fact, it's a rippling for the industry. So exactly as you said, WSTAR is a set of standards. So those are things on paper, not products.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are products like CardSpace, you mentioned it, WCF, absolutely, but also others like Apache supports that,
okay.
Sun supports that.
Okay.
There are a number of big names in the industry that are actually basing their strategy on those standards. What I'm going to put on this whiteboard is going to be valid for any of those implementations, because it's about the protocol. Then, some implementation will be faster, some other will be slower, some other will be easier to use, some other will have many things to configure, so maybe less easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's this is all about the implementation. What we do here is what we normally say, platform agnostic.
Okay.
So, I could be, this moment my sponsor is Microsoft, but this stuff that we are saying applies to just any kind of developer that uses this kind of technology and protocols.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's check it out. So what's a good scenario?
So a good scenario is, let's say, Friday 1.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So let's say that I wanted to buy wine online.
All right.
So I have my smart client because we want to talk about web services. And let's say that somewhere in the cloud, on the internet, there is a wine cellar.
Okay.
So, let's say that here, we have a web service.
Mm-hmm.
That sells wine. So far, there is just this big vacuum, and
mm-hmm,
there is the web service and nothing else.
Okay.
Now, since in the service-oriented world, we want always to be explicit. This web service explicitly says what you need for making business with this service.
Okay.
See, the, practically it says what we call is policy, is a wish list. And in the, this particular case, this web service says that for making business with him, you need a SAML token. Let's say SAML 1.1. SAML is a security token that is defined and described in a number of specifications, and basically is something that you use for transmitting security information. Information that can be actually things that you want to know, like, for example, the age of somebody. Mm-hmm. And it can also be cryptographic material. We will get more into details for that later.
Okay, now this 1 second. I want to put the camera on pause because I'm going to put it on the table and get a better angle at this stuff, okay?
Perfect.
No edits are going on, people. All right, that is much better. All right, sorry to interrupt you, Vittorio.
Fantastic. No, it was okay. I gathered my idea better.
Okay.
So, as I mentioned, SAML is a security token. Mm-hmm. For the time being, let's just think it's a way of transporting security information, so information about somebody, like, for example, the age, and cryptographic material. We will see what we mean.
Okay.
So, for example, let's say that I want a SAML token, I want to know your age, and these, in practical terms, means that I just give you what we call a queue name, let's say an ID which represents this information. So let's say that in this case a schema age.
Okay.
And then, as a last thing, I want to know these things not just from everybody. I want to know it from the Department of Driving License. So let's think in the normal case. You walk into a wine shop, you want wine. You look young. It's not my case, unfortunately, but years ago it was still happening. And you enter, you ask for your Barbera or your Montepulciano, and the wine seller asks for your ID. Typically, here in the States, you use the driving license. In Italy, you can use also the identity card, but never mind.
What's the drinking age in Italy?
I believe 18.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Very cool.
And here we can do pretty much the same. Meaning that it's like having somebody at the shop that says, okay, if you want me to, you put a tablet that says, if you want wine, you need to show me your driving license, and your driving license bears the need of having the age. So here you are making everything clear for everybody that wants to make business with you. Mm. So now let's get actually somebody who wants to make business. So here there's our drinker.
Okay.
Somebody who actually wants to make business with this guy. However, you can also think of an application, meaning that for the sake of example, we can think of one person. But of course, we may have, for example, we are resellers, we may have an automatic application on a backend that wants to call this service.
Sure.
That's the reason for which I said we are not tied to Cardspace. Cardspace is only for people.
Okay.
Anyway, let's make the case in which we actually are a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, somehow, I have to obtain this policy. This somehow is what we codified as another standard, that is WS Metadata Exchange. It is an abbreviated version of it.
Mm.
So, WS Metadata Exchange is a protocol which allows you to obtain what we call metadata. In this case, the policy is a metadata. So, this is one system that I can use for obtaining this policy. What could happen is also that I already know about this policy. Like, it's common knowledge that I have to buy wine, I have to show my ID. So, anyway, bear with me. I go here, I obtain this policy, I get it back, and then and now I need to know if I can actually comply to this policy. Complying to this policy just means owning a security token like that. Now, in the case of Cardspace, for example, somewhere in my system, I have a store with a set of cards. And actually, those cards represent, among many other things, and you said that you already covered this, so I won't go into any detail. They represent the kind of token that you can obtain. So, for example, you may have a card which represents your digital version of a driving license. Mm-hmm. In the case of an application, you may have just any kind of logic that goes through it. So, in the picture now, we get somebody else. We get the Department of Driving License, but it's actually somewhere. So, let's put it here.
Alright.
Okay. Here I have my Department of Driving License that, of course, is it's just a web service. For example, at this address.
Now, let me ask one quick question. Could these web services all, could they be different? In other words, they wouldn't all have to be WSDL compliance stuff like we spit out from ASP.NET?
The technology that you use for implementing this web service is completely irrelevant, meaning that you may want to be a PHP service, for example. Mm-hmm. Like the Department of Driving License may be a JavaShop, mm-hmm. and this web service may be literally anything, ASP.NET, really any technology that you use for... what's important is that everybody complies to these open standards.
Got it. So everybody speaks the same protocol.
Language. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, what happened is, again, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I acquired this policy. I go through my collection of the things that I can use for obtaining these tokens, and I finally found one. Like, for example, the card which represents my driving license. So, now what happened is that this guy has a policy as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's not that you go to the Department of Driving License and you say, hey, I'm Vittorio, I would like my driving license. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to prevent this.
Yeah.
So what happened is that the Department of Driving License has a policy as well. And again, it asks for something. Now, let's not break into the detail here. Let's just say that they ask for a certificate, an X509 certificate. So, at this point, this means, as a first step, that we started to know something about the key distribution. Mm. This guy, or this application, needs a way to prove his identity to the security, to the service that we use on the Department of Driving License.
Okay.
So, this one is my certificate store. And here we start introducing a bit of notation. One nice thing about all these is that we have a visual way of showing how things goes. Mm-hmm. Usually you have to make an effort of imagination. Mm-hmm. And when I make this kind of notation, usually it seems that people get it. So I'm confident that you get it as well. So let's say that we represent our keys like that, like a shape and a key. And since it's here, this represents a certificate, so a public key, a key that everybody can know. Associated to this public key, there is always a private key that we are not supposed to tell to anybody. Mm-hmm. This is something that only this guy owns. And in fact, for the sake of this example, let's think that we have it on a smart card.
Okay.
So, here we have certificates, we have a private key, it's hidden in the smart card, and we have a public key. Great. So, what I needed to do is making a call to the Department of Driving License asking for getting this token.
Okay.
So, this call is the first moment in which we use WS Trust. This call is actually made in a standard way. And this standard is actually called Request for Security Token. It's a message that is made in a certain way. Message. Now, we will make a small approximation, mm-hmm. meaning that we will make a signature which gets all of it. In reality, we don't sign everything, but this is just for the sake of clarity. So, for proving to my department driving license, that is really me, I basically have to show off the fact that I'm the owner of this key. We assume that I'm the only one that can use this key, so I have to use it in a way that is unique, that nobody else can do.
Okay.
So, we do what, in technical term, we call a digital signature. And we do it by using the private key that is inside the smart card. Hmm. Now, what is the effect of a digital signature? A digital signature is something that makes my message protected from any modification. If somebody here in the middle, like a bad guy, gets this message and makes any modification, here, this web service will know that somebody changed it, and so it will invalidate.
Okay.
Now, this is one of the typical things in which it's required magical thinking. Let's say that you have to believe how it works.
Okay.
And actually, I would spend 2 minutes to tell you exactly what it means to make a digital signature.
Sure, let's do that.
So, let's get out of the picture for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's say that here you have a message. A message is actually something that can be very big. So there are ways, mathematical ways, of obtaining something much smaller that is still related to this message. Let's say that it's an operation that I apply to this message, it gives me something very small, mm-hmm. but it really shows, how to say, like the signature, like the fingerprint of this message.
Okay.
We call it the hash. Okay, once you have that, you can apply the key that we have seen for encrypting this piece of part. What does it mean, encrypt? I just combine it in a way with this key that this computer is scrambled. Somebody that sees the encrypted part will really not understand what was the original message.
Okay.
For decrypting it, you need the public key, because in this case I use the private key. So everybody that owns this public key can actually come here, get this message, make the same operation, obtain the same value here, mm-hmm. use the public key for decrypting it, and what will happen is that they are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody, let's put it back, key. If somebody, while the message is going, makes any modification to it, like it bytes one piece, mm-hmm. what will happen is that once you get this modified message and you apply this operation, this thing will be different.
Absolutely, because it will be a mirror of something that's not the same.
Exactly. So, once the ultimate receiver receives the message with a signature, mm-hmm. it will take the public key. No, it will make this operation, it will obtain this different value. It will decrypt the signature, and what you will obtain is that those two guys are different. It will be the proof that somebody modified it. So, as you can see, there is no magic in any place. Mm. This is a really straightforward, and it works. It mathematically works. So, all the things that we have shown are represented in a short form by this S of a signature.
Okay.
So, what we obtained? If we then send the message like this, at this point, the Department of Driving License may have his big database of all the licenses.
Mm-hmm.
He could take what we used, go into this database, discover that this key was assigned to somebody that had a driving license, mm-hmm. and be happy with that. Of course, this is not enough. This is not enough because what may happen is that not only we want people not to modify and mess up with message, we may say very private private things in this kind of message.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that only the Department of Driving License is able to read what's inside here.
Sure.
So the trick that we use is exactly the same. Also, the Department of Driving License will have a certificate store. And it relies on key. So here we have his public key. Here we have his private key. So as a citizen, I know what is the public key of the driving license. That is the cryptographic equivalent of knowing how the driving license looks like, the pattern, and so on. Yeah. This is the way that you use it for telling, okay, this money is not false, is not fake.
Okay.
So, with the only difference that here I can be completely precise. So, if I have the public key of the Department of Driving License, I can make sure that this message will be visible only by that. And the trick is,
Encryption.
Exactly. So, by encrypting it, using the public key of the Department of Driving License, I make so that only the Department of Driving License is able to see what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a private key, or if you don't have a quantum computer that can break cryptography as we know it today, the only way to see that kind of information is to own this key. So we are completely safe.
Okay.
Now, here I have to make a small remark for the ones that already know about cryptography. Doing this kind of operations is extremely expensive, because every time you make all this cryptography, you use a high-level math calculus. Mm. So we really try to use the CPUs as little as possible. So when I say that I encrypt with this key, that is an asymmetric key, what I really mean is that this key is used to encrypt another key that is different. It uses a symmetric algorithm, so it's three order of magnitudes faster. And then I use that key for encrypting the entire message. So it's much more performant. Now, in the picture, I don't want to add these because it would be too complex and in a useless way. What we are interested in is that this guy needs to know this,
sure.
Even if we have intermediate passage. And also another thing is that here it may seem that first I sign and then I encrypt. Whereas I'm not implying any order. This is just for giving you an idea, but that doesn't mean that first I encrypt and then I sign.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I encrypt the signature. It's simply a way of saying this message is encrypted with that.
Excellent.
So now we are pretty much covered, because let's just step back for 2 seconds for remembering what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to buy wine.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen that for making business with the wine seller, I need this token.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through my collection of tokens. They may be cards, they may be anything else. And I've seen that I actually have a card that can deliver this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that the token have to come from that authority. Actually, this web service has a special name. It's called the Security Token Service.
STS.
Because it actually gives me back tokens.
Okay.
So, I'm now completely equipped for actually making my request. And in fact, I have a request for security token. And I encrypt for that specific service, and I sign with my own physical driving license. So let's see from the viewpoint of STS what happened. I receive a message.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely for me, because it's encrypted for me. I own the private key, so I can do this. I can decrypt it. Fine, so I'm happy because I know that nobody could have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have to make sure that the request really comes from who I believe it comes. So I actually see this signature. I search somehow in my backend. I will have my own logic for deciding if that is valid.
Mm-hmm.
Then I check my signature, and I have actually certainty that who sent this message is the owner of the private key that was used for signing. So I'm completely confident that I'm talking with the right guy.
Excellent.
And now I'm actually ready to send him back what he's asking for. And this one is the entire point.
Mm.
Yes. This is going to be tough, but it's going to be in a worthwhile. So, what I'm sending back is a request for security token response.
Okay.
And now, the stuff that I'm going to show is actually inside the message itself. The first thing that I want to send is the SAML token that I'm being requested.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start from the very core of this token, and let's come out progressively until we draw it all. So at the very core of this token, there is a new key. A new key that nobody knows, that the STS created just for this purpose. Now, when I make this call and I ask for the token, in this case, I also said that I want it for the wine seller.
Mm-hmm.
There are cases in which I can say, just give me that and I won't tell you with whom I'm speaking. But we want to make everything by the book. So in this case, we don't have privacy issues. And we say that once we make the request, we also say, we want to talk with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this key will be for talking with this guy. How can we make sure that this will actually happen? Easy, we have seen how it goes. We need a couple of keys.
Mm-hmm.
So also the wine seller will have certificates and will have its own square key and its own private key.
Okay.
So this key will be encrypted for this guy. Then, what else do we need? Here, I'm asking specifically for a claim. So the age. So here, I will have my age claim equal. And since here I have my database, mm-hmm. I finally know what is this value. This value is 22. I wish.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say 22. So, this is actually what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the wine seller trusts me. This means that if the trust, the wine seller will know that this assertion comes from the Department of Driving License, he will be okay with that. So I need to give this guy a way of being sure that it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen what's the trick. We just need to sign. And we will do exactly that. We will sign with our own private key. But there's another small implication, that this guy needs to recognize that it's really the Department of Driving License.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy will need to know his key as well. That is, public key can obtain it anyway. So this is actually, if we package it in a nice way, our SAML token.
Ah, I see. Okay.
This encryption may actually envelope also this guy. Because, for example, if here I'm putting credit score, mm-hmm. I really don't want somebody to see it while it goes on the network.
And you don't want a 22 either.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, in this case, I would be more than happy of advertising it. Okay. So, this is actually something that can be used with this guy. Now, we are actually missing something. Let's assume for a second that we send back this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this guy can tell for sure that this token is coming from the right place. So it's not that somebody hijacked it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do much because this key is encrypted for him.
Exactly.
So I can't get this key to work. So I need to send back one extra thing. This extra thing is the proof token.
Hmm.
What is a proof token? Now I have the wine in the middle.
That's cool.
Let me get rid of the wine for a second. Grammarly.
Excellent.
Okay, so I need to get the same key, and this time I have to deliver it for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I will still encrypt it, but this time I will use the key of this guy. And of course, I still want to make sure that I'm not being fooled. And so here, it will be signed as well for me. Now, then this is the stuff that is sent back in the request for security token response. Okay. Then there would be still some stuff for securing the message itself. I'm not going to draw it because that would be too complex. Mm-hmm. What's important is that I send back this stuff and now I have this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's assume that I got it.
Yep.
I got it and then I see that this part is signed, I'm happy. I obtained what I needed, this symbol for this guy. Now, here there is my trick for using it. It's the Visa proof token. So first thing I check whether the signature is okay, and it is. And again, why can I check it? I can check it because I know this guy. Okay, then this key is encrypted for me. So I can open it up and, oh, surprise. I now own a new key. So let's, it's not really here, let's put it on the border. Because this key will die very soon, because I'm using it only for this.
So it's a temporary key.
Yes, it's let's say it's just in memory. It's
just per transaction.
A session key. Yeah.
Session key. Great.
So now I'm finally ready to call this guy, or am I? Actually, here I skipped a couple of message, so I'm afraid I will have to roll back.
Uh oh.
Here you should have stopped me. This guy encrypted with this key, but what is this key? It's not there.
Ah.
So, here actually, you were right not to stop me. Mm. Because in WS Trust, there are different ways of propagating keys.
Mm.
So, actually, I may not have this key directly in my database. I may trust the client to actually give me one key and say, use this key. But if you want to be completely, utterly sure,
mm-hmm.
you want the vendor key, what we call the reliant party key, actually in possession of STS. So that the STS already knows that this is a trustworthy. So it's giving you a token that he is pretty confident you will make a right use of it.
Okay, well, let me ask a question now.
Okay.
The only thing that I see with that situation is the SCS server by definition won't always know why I want it to tell something that I trust my age. So in this case, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that that key, the square key,
mm-hmm.
is actually a unique identifier for the wine company.
Yes.
Now, I may want to use STS for something that it has no idea of, some sort of unique identifier in the form of a key.
Absolutely.
So in that case, your original path you were taking is correct.
Yes.
Okay. This is just an added extra. Would it make it faster?
Rather than the performance, mm-hmm. here what you want to obtain is to be confident.
Confidence.
So again, it will be in the policies that the identity provider expose.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may be, I would say, a local library, so you don't really care. Anybody just come and say, I want to talk with anybody, mm-hmm. and you are not making any big business decision.
Sure.
You may be the Department of Immigration,
mm-hmm.
and so every time you somebody asks for the digital version of your physical passport, you may want to make 100% sure that you are talking with the right guy. And so here, you may want to have already obtained the key, so that once somebody comes and say, this token will apply to this guy, you know that you are not talking with somebody you don't want to talk. Okay. So there is an entire spectrum from it's completely on the client, mm-hmm. to I want to mandate. And again, there is difference if you are using, for example, Cardspace,
mm-hmm.
and so all these are very disconnected, like consumer facing and mm-hmm. so on. Or you are still using Cardspace or not,
mm-hmm.
and you are in enterprise environment. So for example, this STS may be one company, this one may be a partner company.
Mm.
So the fact that you are allowing this, or that this and the policy says, I want to talk with this, could be the fact that there is a relationship between those two. And so in this case, being able to mandate at the protocol level that I already own this key makes sense.
Absolutely.
So you can do both.
Okay.
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 Here.
I'm getting thirsty, man.
Yeah.
My vino.
Me too. Yeah, luckily this stuff happens in milliseconds.
It's incredible,
yeah.
Actually.
I'm here. Mm-hmm. I want to make this call, so I want to add the Xamarin token to my call. So, should I copy it? Yes, let's copy it. So, I have the session key. It's encrypted for this guy. He's signed by the Department of Driving License. And I'm using it with my message. My message would actually say, I want X bottle of Barbera. So, I'm finally already making my call.
Okay.
Now, how do I use this token? I use the key that's inside for signing the message.
Mm.
And we have seen that we have the proof token that actually obtained this key. Then, I want only this guy to know what is going on. What I am saying, if I'm saying 2 bottles or 15,000 bottles. So I want also to encrypt the message. Now, I may still use this key, but in this case, we want to really make the classical trust level. So let's say that I actually also have a public key that refers to this one seller. Now, the public keys are not really big problems. If you think of these, instead of being web services, being a website, mm-hmm. every time you use HTTPS, the first step is obtaining their key. Okay. So it's actually not a big deal every time I write a public key. The big deals are always the private ones. So now I have this message. Let's see, finally, the one seller that receives this message. And let's go backward.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, I see that this message is encrypted for me. But I may decrypt it now, but first I want to make sure that I'm making business with the right guy. Here I say that this is a summer token.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm happy. I see that it's signed by the public key, or better, signed by the private key
mm-hmm.
of the Department of Driving License.
Okay.
So I'm confident that these represent a driving license. So let's get rid of the signature. Now, here I have something that is encrypted for me. Actually, see, I forgot something. Okay. That is encrypted for me. Since I own my own private key, mm-hmm. I'm the only one in the world that can actually open it. And I open it. Now, what I obtain? I obtain a session key and a claim, the age. So, my policy is satisfied.
Excellent.
It's satisfied because I got the format that I wanted. I got it from who I wanted, from the Department of Driving License. And here I have age. Note that the age is, now I can still refuse, meaning that, for example, if I'm selling something extremely powerful for which you have to be a wise man and be 40, you want still to be able to refuse, meaning here it's 22, my policy is I sell only to 40 on, I will refuse.
Mm-hmm.
So the policy does not mean the authorization. I can still perform my logic for authorizing.
Mm.
This key is the extra mile. This key is actually the way in which I make sure that I'm talking with the one that really made the request. If you think about it, here I made a signature with this key. I was the only one able to open it because it was encrypted for me. Who else could it be able to? Only the one who made the request.
Exactly.
Because the proof token was specifically for this guy. So here, this signature is my insurance that this token is not a stolen token. If somebody would have just grabbed the token while it was coming back, like the classical man in the middle, he could have added the token as I'm doing now. So I would have been able to get to this point and get that it's coming from the Department of Driving License, it's a sample token, and is encrypted for me. But I know, I would know that he's not the original owner, because I needed to see this key in action. And actually, thanks to this signature, I can. So finally, I can get rid of the encryption, because it's for me, so I have it. And I have my proof that this message came from the original requester. So now I'm completely happy.
Cool.
I got everything I wanted. I have my business case. Here I have the values that the web service wanted. So I can or actually start and send back yes, your order is accepted. Or for example, I could use these for kickstarting a conversation. So for example, if this service would be a traffic service, so when I drive, I want to have updates, and I have to call every time, I don't want to do this every single time. So I may want to use this key for creating a sequence of keys that I will use without having to go every time to STS. That's the entire point of this system.
Can you say that one more time? And it's very important.
Absolutely. The idea is that I made all these for respecting the wish of this vendor of having something that is endorsed not just by myself, but by an authority, like the Department of Driving License. But once I did that, I don't need to do that over and over again if in the session I'm still talking with the same service, with the same policy. So I can use what I obtained. I will use what I obtained for gaining the trust of this service. From this moment on, if I just want to protect my interaction, I can use the key that I had as a base for other keys just between me and the one seller. I don't need to go again through STS. And in fact, we have a specific WSR protocol that is called WS Secure Conversation, that you can actually use for simplifying the business second phase.
Excellent. Because, I mean, the point is, you're going to be buying some wine, which typically when you buy things online, there's the notion of a shopping basket.
Yes.
You plop in your Barbera. Then you decide, well, tonight's a special night. I'm going to get some Amarone. Right?
Yes.
But, you know, let me do a little searching first. So I put it in my basket. I'm taking my time. Oh, the phone rings. Making some phone, you know, discussions as time goes by. So the point is, I don't want to have to do this again when I then click on the Amarone that I want to buy.
Yes.
This should, the server should already know who I am because it's registered this session to this key, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if the session dies out, what happens?
If the session dies up, what happens is exactly what would happen once you time out with a website. So here, we are dealing at a lower level, message level. We are not tied to HTTP. But in the case in which you are thinking of a website, if you keep your browser open and you go to answer the door, and oh, you discover that you got something interesting from the post, and then you get back to your computer and the session is over, then you have just to reconnect.
Got it.
What really happened, not for every web service stack, but for ours, for example, is that in the memory of the client, you have what we call a token cache. So it's actually something in memory in which you keep the token. So for example, it may happen that you have to make another call here. Once you go through the policy and you find that you actually have something that matches the policy, even before making the entire call, you see if you already obtained the token. If you do, you just use it right away. So let's say that the lifetime of a cache ends up being the lifetime of your session. Of course, again, this is a bit of a simplification because you may use this token for deriving other tokens, so it's different. But still, that's the general principle that holds.
Excellent. Well, that is really great. I want to get another shot of this because that is what it looks like when you use WS trust to buy some wine.
Yeah.
Online. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that picture before.
And actually, let me reiterate this concept.
Sure, please.
The vast majority of people doesn't need to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you know that your interaction is has integrity and has confidentiality, you can be happy with that. You don't need to go at this detail. And in fact, CardSpace uses something very similar, or actually the same. Mm-hmm. And you don't know it. The user just sees this nice metaphor and is able to take advantage of all these interactions without even noticing. Knowing what goes on is useful for you, the developer, mm-hmm. you, the architect, mm-hmm. because all these things influence the way in which you distribute stuff. Like, if you are of a department of driving license, mm-hmm. here you can actually see what is the potential of adding a smart card to the physical plastic piece. On the other hand, you may decide that this investment is not enough for your bookstore. So once you give the card, you just give, for example, you rely on passwords, which is bad practice, let me say that. But technically it's doable. It's mm-hmm. simply that the keys that you will use will not have the same cryptographic strength. So apart from the usability, mm-hmm. you may also end up with other problems. But you may decide that for your business that makes sense, because the investment of creating the cards goes as well. Mm-hmm. And here the example was the smart card because it's easy to visualize. But for example, in terms of cards, you may have one managed card which represents your driving license. Mm-hmm. And the second authentication factor that you use, instead of being a smart card, it could be a self-issued card. Now, I'm not suggesting that it would be appropriate in this specific business case. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, you need a key. So once you actually understand it to this point, then you can make your decision about how you are going to obtain this key.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And the beautiful thing for the end user is they simply click on a card, in the case of CardSpace, and then the notion of password is out the window.
Exactly.
But you can still rely on what's going to happen.
Precisely.
And that's cool.
And if you use a purely WCF, mm-hmm. what here we made an example of a choice of one card, is actually something that usually you have in the configuration. Let's say that in the configuration you can say which cryptographic material you will use. So things like that, or slightly more complex like that, are still happening. But the way in which you kickstart the process is made in a transparent way. Again, the entire point of making this a standard mm-hmm. was that finally, since we are all in agreement on what we want, the way in which we want to obtain policies, to obtain tokens, to use tokens with vendors, mm. we can be completely independent. Again, this vendor may be in PHP, this STS may be Java, and the client may be CardSpace. And all the Cartesian product of all the technologies that you may think of that comply with WS Star, and all the roles that you can cover. And what's really, really nice is that this stuff is future-proof. Hmm. Today we have PHP, ASP.NET, Java, and so on and so forth. But you can imagine in the future a different technology. Since these protocols are open, you can actually plug into this protocol. So I'm sure that you already heard the metaphor TCP/IP and Ethernet. Mm-hmm. Once we created the TCP/IP and the industry as a whole adopted it, all your application worked exactly as they work for the Ethernet, also for the Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi came years later. Mm-hmm. Still, since there was this decoupling step, the TCP/IP, we were able to just reuse exactly the same applications. So you may think of those services still work side by side, even if you change the policy. Hmm. Or you decide that so far you're using a certain kind of technology, you want to use another, you don't have to migrate everything. Everything can work side by side.
Excellent.
This idea of making everything explicit and talking a common tongue is groundbreaking. And in fact, in the last 5 years, SLA stuff literally exploded.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Vittorio.
Thank you for giving me this chance, and compliments for not falling asleep.
Not at all. This is incredibly interesting stuff. I mean, I'm sure people are really going to want to look at this picture and understand it and appreciate. I mean, I understand it now, so this is good stuff. Thank you very much, Vittorio. We'll have you again on Channel 9 talking about something else in the future.
I definitely hope that we'll have a chance.
All right.
Thank you.
Ciao.